Here with me by Mercy Me. The last couple weeks, we've been talking about God's team. God's team. How each one of us is part of the family of God, the body of Christ, and that we are all one in Him. And that each one of us, each one of you, is an important part of what God is doing and what He wants to do and what He's going to do. And that the church, this church, must be a team. That we must be one in order to accomplish the purpose, the goal, the mission that God has given us. We must be a team, a church with one heart, with one mind, of one accord, in unity and in agreement. Because a team always has a goal that they're working together to achieve. And our goal, our mission as God's team is very, very clear. Jesus gave us His mission. He gave our goal to the team before He left earth. In Matthew, the last chapter in that book, 28, Jesus talked to His 11 disciples before He ascended back to the Father in heaven. In Matthew 28, Jesus came to them, to the disciples, to His original team. And He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." Jesus said that we are to go and make. Somebody say, go and make. Say it again. Go and make disciples. We want Jesus to be with us in everything that we do, right? Well, we must do His will and be busy about His business. And He will indeed be with us wherever we go. He told His disciples, that their mission was to make other disciples and to teach His word and to share His way with others, to lead the way for others to follow, to set them the example. But the point here is this, that we must first be a disciple. We must first be a disciple. You know, you can't make other disciples unless we ourselves are first following Jesus. We cannot lead others to Christ unless we ourselves are fully committed to Him. Each of us must be all in. Are you all in? And of course, the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing with you that that is indeed our theme for 2018. All in 18. And so the most vital question for each of us, for each of you, that God is posing to us in this new year is, are you all in for Jesus? And that's the title of my message this morning. All in for Jesus. Lord, thank You for a powerful and a precious presence of Your Spirit in this place. Lord, I feel like I'm in the house of the Lord. I feel like I'm in the sanctuary of God. Lord, I pray that You would just draw each and every one of us close to You and into Your presence right now. As we look into Your Word, I pray that You would speak to us, give us ears to hear, open hearts, open minds, that we would receive all that You have for us. Because God, You are calling us forward. You are calling us upward. You are leading us onward. You are wanting us, each one, to be all in for You. Lord, one more time, I ask for Your help to preach this message, the anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All in for Jesus. What is it that God wants for us? What does He want for you? He wants you to be a follower, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus' message as He walked this earth and He came into contact with people was always the same, and it was simply this: follow Me. Follow Me. If you look, for example, in the Gospel of Mark, in the first chapter, as He was calling His first disciples, it tells us in verses 16 and 17 of Mark 1, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow Me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. In John chapter 21, in verse 22, the story where Jesus was ministering to Peter and reestablishing him in the faith after he had dealt with denying the Lord Jesus three times on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. And He was ministering to His disciple Peter. And He was saying, how much do you love Me? Feed My sheep. And we come down in the story in John chapter 21, verse 22. Jesus said to him, He's talking about other disciples, if I want him to remain alive until I return, that is what is that to you? You must follow Me. From the beginning of the gospel until the end of the gospel, Jesus' message was always the same: follow Me. Follow Me. And it even extends well into the New Testament. For example, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 said, follow My example as I follow the example of Christ. Another version simply reads, follow Me as I follow Christ. Are you following Jesus? Are you following Him into all that He has for you, into all that He wants you to do and want you to be? Are you all in? Are you a faithful, obedient servant of Jesus, fully committed to Christ, fully committed to God's team? Are you a learning, growing, developing disciple? Are you becoming like Jesus? That is God's will for each and every one of us, to become like Jesus, to follow Him, to be a disciple. And that leads us to our primary text for this morning. And that is the verses that we have attached to our theme for this year. And those verses are Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. If you'd like to turn there with me in your Bibles. Or I guess today, I should also add, on your smartphones. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. It might even be on the wall behind me. There you go. So in your Bibles, in your smartphones, or look up at the screen. Multiple options. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it. So what did Jesus really say about being His disciple? What did He say about being all in? What does He say about being His follower, becoming the person that He wants each of us, that He wants you to be? So let's take a little bit closer look at these verses here in Luke chapter 9 and examine this idea a little bit about what the Bible tells us, what it means to be all in for Jesus. What is a disciple? What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to be all in? How do we become the church, the team that God wants us, that God's called us to be? How will you become the person that God desires, that God designed you to be? You see, to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, should be the main goal of every believer. That should be our primary goal in life. There's nothing higher to aspire to in all of life. There's no greater focus in all of life than to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to make disciples. He said, go and make. To make disciples should be the goal of God's team. Should be the goal of every church. The goal of our church. But you know, church, it takes a decision. It takes determination. It takes commitment to be an all-in disciple. It doesn't just happen automatically. You have to want it to happen. Okay, Pastor. We get all that, but why exactly is making disciples so important? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Why is making disciples so important? Well, it's the command of Jesus. It's the command of Jesus to the church. How many here are part of the church? It's the very nature of the mission that He sent us on. I served 10 years in the Army. Almost all of that time in combat units. And whenever we went on a deployment, whenever we prepared for training, for combat, we always had a goal. We always had a mission. We always had an objective. We always had something that we were trying to accomplish. We didn't just go out there and do whatever. We had a purpose. We had a specific mission that was our goal. You know, frankly, our goal is not to get people saved. Now that is the starting point. That's where it all starts. Seeing people come to Christ. Being born again. Making the choice to put their faith in Jesus Christ. To receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. But that's not what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say go out and get people saved. But He said go and make followers. Go and make disciples. You see, there's a difference. Because this is not just about having our sins forgiven. Although that's so important and it again is the starting point. It's not just about getting our ticket to heaven. Because sadly, some people, that's as far as they go. And we miss all that God has for us. You see, the goal is to become a brand new person in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. To live for Jesus. To have a changed life. To become fully committed to Jesus Christ. I shared with you just recently that I was reading some surveys about the state of the church in America today. And the definition now of a committed Christian is somebody who attends one or two services a month. A committed Christian. Is that fully committed to Jesus? God wants us to be all in, fully committed. We must put Jesus first in your life. He's not an aside. He's not a convenience. He's not if we get around to it. He's not if we feel like it, if we're up to it. Because I'm glad that that is his attitude to us. Well, I'll get around to helping you if I have time. I'll get around to answering your prayer if I feel like it. God's fully in, all in with us. We need to be all in with Him. Our goal should be to give it our all, to give your all to Him and hold nothing back. Jesus held nothing back for us. Where Jesus is your greatest treasure. Living for Him is your highest priority. Where nothing in all of life compares to Him. That there's no one greater than Him. That there's nothing more important to you than He is. That nothing else in life will keep you from Him. From doing His will. From being the person He created you to be. That's, my friends, what it means to be all in. Are you all in? Are you all in for Jesus? So why is your becoming a disciple important? Well, not only is it Jesus' command to the church to go and make disciples, but it's important because it is what God wants for you. It's God's will for your life. People often say, what is God's will for my life? I'll tell you all right now what God's will for your life is. For you to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. For you to become more and more each day like Jesus. I love what the Apostle Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to his words. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one that He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Man, when you really get a hold of that church, how can you not want with everything in your being to be all in for Jesus? He was all in for me. But He doesn't stop there. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. And in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. God wants you to do in your life, to do with your life, what He designed you to do. To bring Him praise, to bring Him glory. To be all that He created you to be as you follow Jesus. But Paul went even a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 2. And he said this, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Can somebody say, thank God for His grace? Where would we be without the grace of God? If not even in an even worse place, I would at the very least be in a pile of a mess without the grace of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a reason and a plan and a purpose for your life. He had a plan for you before you were ever born. To be a follower of Jesus. I remember several years ago, the U.S. Army had a famous recruiting campaign. No offense, Marines, but their recruiting campaign was almost as good as yours. But maybe you'll remember the slogan, "Be all you can be." How many remember that? Be all you can be in the U.S. Army. Well, you know, God wants you to become all you can be in His army, in His family, in His body, on His team. God wants you to be all in. You see, being a disciple means this: less of you and more of Jesus. Less of me and more of Him. Why is it important to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, the fact is that it's the only way to heaven. To have a living, growing relationship with Christ. Someday we're all going to face God. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that to face the judgment. You will face God someday. As will I. And He will not ask any one of us if we knew about Him. For many do. He will say, "Do you know me? Do I know you?" Not only is being a disciple the only way to heaven, but becoming a disciple, and I want you to listen to this and get this, because this is important. Becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is the demonstration. Somebody say demonstration. It's the demonstration of our love for Christ. If you love Him, you will follow Him. If you love Him, you will follow Him. Jesus Himself said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Let's go a little further. What did Jesus say about being all in? What did He say about becoming the person that He wants us to be? Again, we go back to our text in Luke chapter 9. There's a couple tremendous principles here in these verses that we need to get. Verse 24, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." Here's the first principle I want you to get a hold of. Losing what is of great value to you is the ultimate demonstration of love. I'll say that again so we can get a hold of that. Losing what is of great value to you is the ultimate demonstration of love. True love always requires us to give, doesn't it? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will give up your life for me." You see, when you lose your life for Jesus, when you give up yourself for Jesus, it reveals just how much you really love Him. And you know, God was the first to do that. It was God Himself who set the example for this when He gave His very own Son. God gave up what was of greatest value to Him for us. Oh, I hope you're getting this, church. He saw our condition, that we were lost in sin. We were in bondage to the enemy. With no way to save ourselves, no way to reach God, no way to gain or earn or work our way to heaven, no way to recover, to regain what was lost due to our sin. I remember I was watching one of my favorite TV shows a while back. in the two stars of the show, the bad guys got a hold of them and they pushed them into a pit, a big hole that was dug in the ground. And the stars of the show fell to the bottom of this pit, this deep hole, and the idea of was that they were going to be left there to die. The bottom of this pit. The walls of this pit not only went straight up, but it was loose dirt. And every time they tried to climb up, to crawl their way up and out of this pit, they just slid right back down. Finally, they decided that the one was going to try to stand on the other's shoulders to see if they could reach the top, the edge, and pull themselves up. But it was too high. There was no way to reach up and to get out of this hole that they were in. Ultimately, some of their friends finally figured out where they were and what had happened to them. And they came and they rescued them. They threw a rope down into this pit and they pulled them out. They lifted them up to safety. What an illustration, I thought, that is of how man tries to climb out of the pit, the hole of sin that we are in. And how we try to gain our way, to earn our way, to work our way out of our sinful situation. We try to climb up and fall back down. We try to stand on somebody else's shoulders. They way back, they tried to build a tower of Babel to reach heaven. But nothing works. There's no way to reach God. There's no way out of this sinful predicament that we find ourselves in. There's no way to heaven. So what did God do? He said, man can't reach me, so I will go down to reach him. He can't come up to me, so I will send what's the most valuable thing of all to me. I will send my very own son down to him, to where he is, to rescue him, to find him, to save him, to die for him in his place. Somebody ought to be praising the Lord about now. And Jesus became Emmanuel. God with us. God come down here to us. But why did he do that? Why would he do that? Because of his great love for you. I love that new song that we've been singing. If it was up to me, I'd sing it every Sunday until you want us to sing something else. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Reminds me of my favorite verse, Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul follows it up in Romans 8:32. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also along with him, how will he not also along with him give us all things? In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, this is the gospel that we have. This is the gospel we believe. This is the gospel we preach. This is the good news of salvation that we are tasked to bring to a lost and a dying world, to lead people not only to salvation in Christ, but to become disciples, to become followers of Jesus Christ. For God gave up His most valued, His most precious thing, His own Son for us. And Jesus Himself was willing to become obedient. He humbled himself. Philippians 2:8 says he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. The point is this: because of his love for you, he gained your salvation by giving up, by giving all. And we must do the same thing with him. How do we respond to God's love for us? By following Jesus. By being disciples of Christ. By being all in. If we really love God, we will want Him to love Him back with everything we have. Do you? Do you love Jesus today with everything in you? Are you willing to follow Him? To be all in. To let go. To give up the most precious, the most valuable thing that we have. Our own life. So discipleship, being a follower of Jesus, is simply the ultimate response to the love of God. Jesus, again, when he was calling his first disciples, he said, "Follow me." To the fishermen, he said, "Let go of your nets." To the tax collector, he said, "Give up your position." Now he's not telling us necessarily that we need to give up our jobs, although there's some of you that would be glad to do that. And there are some instances where he does indeed say, "Follow me and give up your job. Go into full-time ministry. Go to another place, go to another land and be a missionary and spread the gospel." Yes, there are times that he does ask us to give up our lives, our jobs, our vocations in that sense. But ultimately what he's asking each and every one of us is to give up ourselves to him. To give up our old lives, our old self, our self-centered ways, to let go and to follow him. And when Jesus called the fishermen, what did they do? What was their response? Well, we read about that again in the first chapter of Mark, where Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It says that at once, they didn't hesitate. There's too many people in the church today, my friends, who hesitate to follow Jesus. When you realize how much God loves you and you want to love Him back, there's no reason for hesitation. Let me go. Let me go to Jesus as quickly as and closely as I can. I don't want to waste a minute. How about you? At once they left their nets and they followed Him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Being a disciple is letting go of the old person and becoming a new creation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. You see, friends, you cannot follow Jesus. You cannot become a disciple and stay the same old person. Following Jesus requires change. It requires a life change. A lifestyle change, a brand new life in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be all in. Are you all in? Are you becoming a new person, a new creation in Jesus Christ? Have you turned your back on your old way of life and turned your face toward Jesus? Now let's go on just a little bit further in the time we have left. Something else I notice here, another important principle in these verses in Luke chapter 9. And it's this: God's words are opposite those of the world. God's words, God's ways are opposite those of the world. Look at chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone, Jesus said, would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, Jesus' words, well, they kind of go against the grain. See, following Jesus is kind of like being a fish swimming upstream. It's not the easiest way to go, but it's the right way to go. Did you ever try to cut wood against the grain? I don't know if while Stu was building a sound booth back there, if he found himself having to cut against the grain. It's a lot harder, isn't it? It's not easy to go against the grain. It's not the normal direction. Well, Jesus' way is not what we would consider normal. It's not the way that most people do it. It's not the easiest way to do it. Jesus said that it comes down to this, that we lose by gaining. See, we lose by gain. We lose. If we gain our lives, we lose. But he said what we also gain by losing. When we lose our lives, for his sake we gain. It's opposite the normal direction that the world would lead us on. And there's two key words here. Two key words. I want you to say them with me. Deny and daily. Do it one more time. Deny and daily. You see, taking up a cross implies death. Nobody gets nailed to a cross and lives to tell about it. Taking up your cross implies death. Now, thank God we don't have to literally be crucified. Although some over the years and even today have indeed made the ultimate sacrifice for Christ by being martyred. But it does mean that we have to die to self in order to live for Christ. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. John chapter 12, 24 through 26. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Somebody say dies. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So here's the principle. In order to live for Christ, you must die to self. That's discipleship. In order to live for Christ, we must die to self. We must deny ourselves, deny what we think, what we want, what we desire, what we want to do, being in control, going our own way of life. Being a disciple, following Jesus means going where He leads us. Doing what He wants us to do. Doing what pleases Him. Giving Him control. Putting Him first in our lives. Involving Him in everything that you do. Every direction that you take. Every choice that you make. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall make your path straight. It's giving up to Him. Turning all over to Him. Putting both feet in the ring in being all in. Remember what I said the last couple weeks. If you're not all in, you're not really in at all. If you're not all in, you're not really in at all. And discipleship is daily. It's daily. It's an everyday choice, choosing to follow Jesus with your life. It reminds me of an old chorus. Some of you fellow old timers will remember this chorus. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say the words. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. See, further in this chapter, verse 62, Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. It requires a decision. It requires a choice, a commitment, being faithful, doing what we say that we're going to do. You see, friends, too many people follow Jesus occasionally. Too many people follow Jesus sometimes. Too many people just don't follow through in their promises to God, in their promises to the church. They say one thing and do another. They don't keep their word. They don't keep their commitments. I'm glad that Jesus always keeps His word. He always keeps His promises. He always fulfills His commitments. Following Jesus is not a part-time proposition. And there's way too many people in the church today who act like following Jesus is part-time. Following Jesus is a full-time position. It's a lifetime commitment to Him and to His church and to His people and to the team. Reminds me of the old saying about the post office. How dependable the post office is in delivering the mail. That nothing will stop the mail from getting through. Rain, hail, sleet, and snow. You remember that? The mail must go through. And you can trust the mail to be delivered no matter what. My friend, can God trust you to deliver? Can the church trust you? Can the team count on you? Will you stand up for the team? Will you be committed to Christ, committed to serve God, committed to build up the church, committed to stand in unity and agreement to stand against our common enemy, the devil? I heard an awesome quote this week. The devil does not fear a big church. He fears a united church. Ha ha. Boy, that was good. I heard that. I said, that's getting in my next sermon. The devil does not fear a big church. He fears a united church. Can I add my own quote to that? The devil does not fear somebody who knows about God. He fears somebody who really knows God. The devil fears a disciple, a follower, a sold out, all in follower of Jesus Christ. The devil fears a believer who is dead to self and alive to Christ. And one last thing. Consider this, my friends. God had a plan for you before you were born. God had a plan for Gateway before it existed. God brought you and Gateway together for His purposes. God wants to do more in your life. And God has determined that Gateway would be part of that process. You see, you don't have to be in the biggest place for God to work. You just have to be in the right place. You don't have to be in the biggest place for God to work. You just have to be in the right place. And God will do His work. Are you all in? Jesus is looking for followers. He's looking for disciples, people who are sold out and all in. Jesus said, "Follow me." My friends, I am a weak, imperfect, frail, fallible human being, just like you. But I stand in your presence today. I stand before you, behind the holy desk of God. And I say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. I want to be all in. I want to be a part of seeing God's team move forward in unity. I want to see what God can do, what God will do in my life, in your life, and in this place. I've decided to follow Jesus. How about you? Jesus has given us our mission to go and make disciples. He's given us our goal, but it takes a team. Because God designed it just that way. It takes a very special team of committed disciples of Jesus. It takes a team pulling together, working together, serving together, praying together, laughing together, crying together, in agreement. Takes a team full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Takes a team of committed, all-in followers of Jesus. And I close with this thought. Disciples make a difference. Disciples make a difference. But to make a difference, you must be different. To make a difference, you must be different. And so I want to ask Stu to put on this song, "Touch My Heart." And I hope it touches yours. Micah Tyler, singing a song called "Different." Let's listen to this song, and I'm going to come back just for a minute then with an important invitation.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. Changed till all of me is gone, and all that reason.
I'd like to ask everybody to please bow your heads and close your eyes. I'd just like to know, is there anybody here that you'd be willing to raise your hand and say, I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be all in. I want to be a part of God's team. I want to move upward and onward and forward. I want to be all that God asked me to be, all that God created and designed me to be. I want to make a difference. I want it to be less of me and more of Jesus. I want to give all that I am and everything I have to Jesus. I want to be all in. Does anybody raise their hand? That's your prayer. That's your cry this morning. Yes, hands all over this building. Stu is going to put on another song in a minute. If you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, and that's the cry of your heart. That's the prayer that you have. I want to ask you to get out of where you're sitting and come and to the forward, find a place of prayer. Just take a few minutes and just get before God and make a brand new commitment to Jesus Christ. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to the church. You're coming to Jesus Christ, who gave His all for you. Will you come and make a renewed commitment to give your all to Him? In the greatest demonstration of love that you could ever have, saying, here I am, Lord. I want to be committed. I've decided to follow you, no turning back. I want to be all in for Jesus. Will you come? Hallelujah. Praise God.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to Him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself, so I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to Him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am healed. I am free.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
'Cause I am found. I am yours. I am I am healed.
Ask God to search your heart. Lord, open up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. And sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
'Cause you are more.
Love you. And we thank you for your amazing, amazing, amazing patience with us. I can't imagine what it's like to watch us down here chasing our tails, scratching all our itches, thinking that we found answers. We're digging holes in the ground, calling them wells, and just starving little people. God, if we would ever open up our heart to you, trust you, you do something only you can do. Can we sing that chorus one more time?
Here's my heart, Lord. Yeah. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak what is true.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Have a wonderful day in Jesus. And the altars are open. If you'd like to stay and pray, please feel free to do so. God bless you. Praise God.
Truth about myself. So I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.